Chapter 9. Someone in Starbucks a couple days ago told Chris about a medical lab that seemed quick. And it was one of those typical retired MB guys in his 70s who were always lean and tan and fit and looked like they could kick your ass in or out of the water in any sport you challenged them to. The guy was friendly enough, though. Although Chris was trying to get through a lengthy LA Times article on the changing face of Koreatown, which on the surface didn't sound that exciting, but the writer was doing a good job, had obviously put mounds of research into it, and the individual sub-stories were compelling. But the guy wanted to talk, so Chris conceded, and pretty soon the guy delved into his medical conditions, kind of surprising given that he'd probably been to Redondo and back already this morning on a workout. But the thrust being, he had diabetes now on top of something else which Chris didn't want to process, and he sometimes needed to be tested quickly, and he tried all the labs, and the most efficient, hands down, was the one in Gardena. So on the way back from Sigma Beach, Chris gave the place a call on the off chance they did DNA, and the person said they didn't used to, but they've added it. So Chris decided why not, and on Wilshire Boulevard, he passed his favorite Thai place, hard not to stop, not being in Santa Monica all that often. And he regretted it when he got up around UCLA, but there was an Irish pub he knew, had been there forever, sandwiched between a dumb Blimpies and a phone store. And man, that draft Guinness hit the spot, especially after watching the principal get semi-blitzed. And Chris felt a lot better and headed over there. This time he was more organized, too, than with the Hawthorne lab and resulting ultimate fiasco, meaning now he was carrying around his fake ID for situations like this, where even though you pay cash, they still may need ID to release your sample to you, which is of course what happened in Hawthorne, catching him totally off guard, though he got lucky, that part. The fake driver's license had him as Jeff Masters. He grabbed it in the scramble out the door on the way to Bingham, and the license had never been required out there, a casino town where cash really did say it all. But he went by that name when people occasionally asked him, such as that nice group at the blackjack tables, and frankly, the name wasn't bad. He was starting to like it better than Chris Seeley. Then when he got back home after Bingham, he stupidly locked the fake license in his box at the bank, and he learned his lesson. You never know when you might require the thing. And currently at the Gardena lab, they were swabbing the inside of his cheek, and then someone tended to his paperwork and asked if tomorrow afternoon was okay, or did he want the expedited time frame, which would cost more. Chris said tomorrow afternoon was fine, and Jiminy Christmas, the Starbucks guy with the medical conditions, was right. This seemed like a world record, meaning you might as well get your rear end in gear, no point keeping the Mark Hacker guy waiting any longer, much less continue tempting fate. That was another thing. Even though it killed him to do it, Chris felt an obligation to keep up on the latest in DNA solving old cases. Typically, you could Google cold case DNA, and every week there'd be at least a few developments. For example, some 42-year-old case that everyone had given up on gets resurrected and solved on account of advances in testing, but especially in familial matching. And that's what the retired Northern California LE guy Paul Holes did with D'Angelo, the notorious Golden State killer out of the 70s. Holes didn't figure it out himself, the method. It was done first in New Hampshire, but Holes was the first to make national headlines using it. And since then, the floodgates opened on jurisdictions reworking old cases. The bottom line, Chris had relaxed to an extent, his stuff, because the time and resources were going into the oldest cases, not the current ones. Except last week in the paper, he read this quote, and it unnerved him enough to save it. Quote, I think the agencies across the board are looking at old case files and seeing where this might apply, the person said. There's now a trend toward active investigations. Why wait for a case to go cold? If you have an active offender, why wait for him to have another opportunity to offend? Chris wasn't sure who he, the person, was that was speaking or which case it pertained to, but the details didn't matter, did they? A highly unpleasant development, a trend toward active investigations, and you better get on this quick, once and for all. So that was at least good, the lab part. You'll have your little thingamajig tomorrow, and you might as well leave this week for up north, deliver it to Mark, let him go to town. In fact, you know what? Might as well leave right from the lab, he was thinking, especially now that he just reread the damn quote. Wow. There was always something to sweat out, wasn't there? And typically, it had to do with timing. What could you do? It was 5:30 by the time he got back to the Cheater 5. He knew from going in that it was going to take forever to nurse your way home from Gardena. That going south and having to reverse yourself at rush hour was one thing, bad enough, but going south and inland and having to reverse yourself was something else again. Meaning, the whole day had been kind of shot, one or two tasks, but the pool looked inviting and the temperature was just right. You had to give them credit, they never overheated the thing. Though that simply could have been Sharif trying to save money. But floating around in there did give you a tad bit of much-needed perspective. Things could be worse. They always could. That was a given by now. One thing that bothered him, you'd be missing Finch's Friday night session, which he fought himself to attend in the first place, but now was admittedly looking forward to. But even that maybe you could catch up with online. One reason was to see what Holly came up with this time. You didn't want to say anything, but man, hers really was the weakest of the lot so far, wasn't it? She's this big journalist, supposedly, working on her own novel for years, she made it sound, talking MFA programs, and Chris was pretty sure Ned and Rosie, and even Finch, if he was honest, and even Ralph, too, were shaking their head on that one when the first session concluded. Around 8, there was a knock on the door, and Marlene was standing there looking upset about something, and Chris welcomed her in. He said, I don't know if you realize it, but when you knock, it's always 3 times, with like a little staccato hesitation before the 3rd one. You have a signature pattern. Oh well, she said. Tonight, though, 3 right in a row, solid, so I'm thinking something's off. Is it? Do you still have that blender, she said, and any of that interesting booze? Ah, the blender. That had been from way back, the night he and Emma went to Big Walk, and Ken was there too, another table, and after dinner, Emma redirected things to Target for that blender and then to Rouse for the liquor. Chris had rarely used it since the Emma thing fizzled out last fall. Chris said, That I do, yes. The rums and so forth, I'm not sure. One thing, the person who helped me pick them out sure took forever. Which was true, Chris figuring he'd never tell the difference between brands, but Emma pouring over each ingredient of about 20 labels, driving you a little crazy, honestly. Do you have any tequila or no? Marlene said, and before Chris could take a look, she said, That's okay. Where I was going with it, I was in Cabo once and there's so many varieties, you can get in big trouble just taste testing. Chris had heard this somewhere as well, and meanwhile had a little something going on in the blender, not really knowing what he was doing, but suspecting it wasn't all that important, given that Marlene seemed funky tonight and likely wouldn't notice a difference. Chris dolloped out the final product, was going to have to fake drink his, wasn't up for it right now, and said, So, your day? How'd that go? What's that supposed to mean? Marlene said. And ooh boy. And Chris didn't press it, and Marlene sat back and after a while said, well, okay, something good. Really? Chris said. Yes. Well, I walked into town. As you know, I like to do most days. And that was a first. He didn't know about that. And he'd sure never bumped into her doing it. And in fact, when he'd suggested it once a while back, go down and check out a skimboard contest they had going on a Saturday morning, she looked at him funny and said it was way too far. Chris said, so it was a positive then. Your effort? There was a little boy, she said, and a puppy. You know Connie's Closet? That place? I think I know where you mean, Chris said. A couple doors down from the bikini shop, right? The corner of Highland. The bikini shop, of course, being one of those unique to a beach town operations. The deal was, you had people already walking around in bikinis, going in there to check out other bikinis. You were somewhat used to the atmosphere by now, the nonchalance of the locals toward the amounts of skin, male and female both, on display as a no-big-deal lifestyle. But dang, some couple coming out here for a little R&R in the middle of winter from, say, Rochester, Minnesota, would see it a little different. Anyhow, Marlene didn't acknowledge the place and continued. They were eating ice creams, the boy and the parents and the sister. Hers started to topple off the cone and the mom and dad come to the rescue, but they lose focus on the puppy that the boy is holding at the moment, and I'm afraid the dog ran into the street. Are you torturing me here, Chris said, or did you save the day? I did. I acted quickly. The puppy appeared to be on a mission, like on a scent, and he was moving every which way in the middle of the block, and I say puppy. He was close to full grown, but young, obviously. One of those labradoodles. No cars yet, Chris said, needing a bottom line here pretty quick. Jeez. There was one double parked, coming up the hill, and he was letting people out. But there was a person behind him who looked anxious, and the double parker appeared to be blocking the view of that person, and I was afraid that person, any moment, would rev the engine and come around right into the poor dog. Come on, Chris said. So, I screamed at the top of my lungs, watch out! And the car in back didn't seem to hear me, honestly. I think he had music playing really loud. But the dad did, and he pulled himself out of the ice cream business really fast and raced out there and scooped up the dog. Chris thought he might have handled it differently. Step out into the street right away yourself and just raise a hand to the back car like a traffic cop until someone scoops up the dog, or even just tell the dad right away, don't watch it unfold first. But every circumstance was different, he supposed. The main thing then, he said, and good for you, well done. Everybody lives happily ever after. They do, Marlene said. The bad part of my day, I found out I have to work tomorrow. Again. Work? Chris said, as in what kind? Marlene looked at him like he was an idiot. What else have I done, in your experience? You mean like teach again? I thought they cut you loose. This is something different, she said. I received a call from a vice principal in Fullerton. They need someone to teach 7th and 8th grade art and health. Like a sub then, Chris said. No, the real thing. They're hiring me for next fall, but they need me to start tomorrow and finish off this semester as well. Art and health. Is that like its own subject rolled into one these days? No, she said. That's the other thing. How am I supposed to teach art? I can't even draw a cartoon face. And health, I don't have a clue what that entails. She was actually crying a little bit, and wow, this sure wasn't how you scripted it. Okay, look, Chris said. Art, you figure out right away who the most talented kid is, and you have him or her do all the demos. They love that. And health, whatever it actually is, that's a piece of cake. You stay a few pages ahead of the class in the textbook, and you got it covered. Marlene had some Kleenex going, but seemed to be processing it. That simple, huh? And let me see that smile, Chris said, and he got right in her face and gave her the deadpan stare until she broke into one. Not the end of the world, he said. Couple days under your belt, it'll be like you didn't miss a beat. The person who called you, they say anything else? No, she said, just that she got a nice referral from my old district, which is kind of shocking since that guy was a true asshole, my principal. I apologize for putting it like that. Well, Chris said, something I'm learning myself, people have more redeeming qualities than you might give them credit for on the surface. Not this guy, Marlene said. Anyhow, Chris said, no point overthinking it. What time do you start? That's one more thing. They're on the early schedule out there. 7:40. Chris moved closer to her on the couch, patted her knee, and said he was proud of her, that if you go with the flow, which he did, you tend to bob back to the surface just fine. He was in the mood for a little more now, actually, was hoping he could butter her up, but the compliments and knee business didn't work at all, and she announced she had to be going, that she had so much to do to prepare, and Chris noticed her wobbling slightly out the door, and he told her to take it easy on the stairs. The night was still young, that was for sure, and Chris felt slightly discombobulated. That's what you get for trying to do what you assume without anticipating what the other person might assume is the right thing. What else could you do except head down to the crow's nest? Okay, fine. If he was out here himself tomorrow, which it was looking like was going to happen, he had some preparing to do, just like Marlene, but forget her for now. Ned must have been in back, between back table consultations, because he was standing at the bar smiling about something with Cindy, someone else pointing to the TV, and all three of them looking, so Chris did too, and it was a ball game. The Dodgers had traded another outfielder during the offseason, and here he was tonight, first game returning to Chavez Ravine, and in his first at-bat, he homers off Clayton Kershaw. Mixed emotions, Chris said. The fans? Hey, bud, Ned said. Good you dropped in. What? Chris said. They cheered him when he got in the batter's box for old time's sake, but they booed him when he rounded the bases? He's better off, Ned said, and so are the Dodgers. Guy was always losing his temper. Ah, bad for team chemistry then. Exactly. You can't have that, even if the guy is talented up the wazoo. You hear the one about the water? Nope. He's out at third on a tag play, Ned said. He comes back in, heads down to the clubhouse, is still mad about it, smashes his helmet against the wall, and accidentally sets off the sprinkler system. The inning ends right then, and he goes back to left field soaking wet. That's pretty funny. When they change sides again, the fire department is there, and he gulps and tells another guy to call his wife, figuring he's getting arrested. Of course, he's Dominican. You can see him thinking American laws are worse than they are. Yeah, Chris said, you'd need more to really arrest someone. Speaking of which, Jeannie, Ned was saying, his hand on someone's waist now, who apparently just showed up. Meet my friend Chrissy. Have a drink. It's all on me. Chris has some colorful stories. Ask him about when he tried to sell a piece of fake art on Craigslist. Chris was going to give Ned the look, but you didn't bother at this point. And how could you fault the guy, really? He did make this introduction, and Jeannie was young and certainly attractive enough, and she wasn't saying no yet to having a drink. Well, Chris said, I guess I could dredge that one up. We'd have to sit down, though. And that was no problem either, though Jeannie said she wouldn't mind the chair against the wall so she could keep an eye on the game. You ever play then, Chris said, or your dad made you a fan since he didn't have a son? Are you guessing, she said. My cousin, he said. She's like 45 now. My uncle's dead and gone, but she's still pleasing him anyway. Season tickets like 20 years in a row to the Miami Marlins. They're looking to move, apparently, she said. Attendance is terrible. Gee, Chris said, you do know your stuff. Is the ball juiced this year? I'm seeing more right-handers hitting it out the opposite way. It sure looks. She nodded. Tighter seams. And that made sense, actually. Though you didn't need to get into a further breakdown of the manufacturing process. So, Chris said, what do you do? For real? Sure. That and for kicks, too. Chris was surprised it just hit him, but Jeannie could certainly be out of Chris's stable, meaning a porno actress participating in his ongoing activities at the Strand House. And that would be Ned's stable. I'm a paralegal, she said. I like to ride dirt bikes on the weekend. How about you? So maybe not, Chris was thinking. Though you could juggle being a paralegal with 20-minute interactions, couldn't you? Chris said, do you know Ken Chamberlain? Oh, I do, she said. No hesitation. He's a sweet boy. Boy. The guy had to be 26 now, and Ken admittedly had a baby face, but she had to be that age herself, maybe even younger. Chris said, well, if you don't mind my asking, where is he currently? He was over there earlier, Jeannie said, pointing at the side wall that had the framed movie posters, but really pointing, you had to assume, in the direction of the house in question, a half mile down the Strand toward Hermosa. Oh, Chris said. She said, you didn't tell me what you do. Chris, realizing she had asked and always hated this, and he said, I'm retired, figuring slam the door on it clean. Now that's interesting, Jeannie said. I started a 401k. I'm trying to set myself up as well. 20 plus years away, obviously. But when my accountant projects it out, there'll be no way. Chris had to agree with her. The normal routes probably weren't going to cut it these days. So start your own business, he said. I'd love to, she said, except what would it be? Chris said, something I'm on the lookout for myself. I mean, online stuff, where ideally you don't have to go anywhere. You are preaching to the converted, she said, but everything seems so saturated. Well, Chris said, do you have any unique life experiences that you could coach someone else on? I never thought of coaching per se, Jeannie said. That seems foreign to me. It does, until you start raking in the bucks. With Skype and so forth, you got a worldwide victim pool out there. I see people giving music lessons that way. Skype, yoga, the works. Of course, I'm guessing the bigger money's in the direct coaching. You know, you're right, she said. People are willing to pay top dollar for self-improvement. And like you say, yes, the life coaching stuff is saturated. Everyone and his brother can call himself one of those. No training required. But if you have something unique that you're coaching them in, then the field's wide open. Jeannie was nodding absentmindedly, and you could see she was chewing on the concept. Without bringing it up, Chris, of course, was framing it in terms of the porno business, that there'd be more than enough clients out there to sustain a one-on-one Skype business where your coaching consisted of answering their questions about the industry, telling a few stories, the sky sort of being the limit in terms of imagination. Jeannie said, this may be the jump start I need, honestly. My routine, it's become a bit stale. Well, Chris said, the gin and tonic you shouldn't have ordered, kicking in. My door's always open. You want to brainstorm? I'll warn you, I'm not great on the internet, the subtleties. But you're a thinking man. That's important, she said. And she took out her phone and asked Chris for his information, and he dutifully dictated it. Well, then, a fairly substantial male voice bellowed. What do we got? Old reunion night, it looks like? Oh, hi, Austin, Jeannie said, and she angled her mouth just right, and Austin planted a legitimate-looking, lingering, wet kiss on her lips. This is... I'm sorry. Chris said. Didn't you just type it in, though? Once again, he was sticking in the needle for no reason, other than to see what might happen. And wouldn't Dr. Moore call that destructive behavior? He made a mental note to ask her next time. Would appreciate, Austin said, sitting down with them. you addressing the lady with less of an edge. We good? And Austin laid a tough guy stare on him, and part of Chris was tempted to go in back and get a baseball bat or something. There had, in fact, been one leaning up in there when he and Ned had their little meeting that time. Of course, this would be way out of character for Chris. You didn't let personal insults set you off, except it felt like enough was enough lately, or maybe it was just the booze. But he kept his cool and asked Austin how his day was, and the guy lightened up a fraction, and something happened in the Dodger game, and they all three commented on it, and Jeannie retold Austin Chris's story about the player who got traded and how last season he set the sprinkler system off on himself. That's a good one, Austin said. Where'd you hear that at? Chris said the LA Times had a big spread on the guy over the weekend. Reporter did his homework. Interviewed a dozen people, easy. Austin nodded and said, I love true sports books. There's less of them now, though. There are, Chris said. I'm guessing on account of the players all being millionaires. They don't need the income. They don't need to be spilling locker room secrets anymore either, the guy said. No upside to that. This was true, and this Austin guy wasn't bad. He was on the ball. Chris said, this is going to date me, but have you ever read Ball 4? I have not, and it's been on my bucket list. I keep putting it off because it's all so far back. Chris said, different era on the surface, yeah. Guys had to sell insurance during the off season to make ends meet. But the concepts are the same. The guy sits in the bullpen all season, doesn't get into many games, but keeps this amazing diary. Plenty of provocative insights. Which team? Austin said. The Seattle Pilots. Brand new expansion team their first year. That added an interesting dynamic as well. Everyone trying to figure stuff out for the first time. Of course, that's not the current Mariners. The Pilots' move didn't last too long in Seattle. Where to? Geez, you got me there, Chris said, and Austin asked Jeannie to look it up, and she announced, Milwaukee Brewers, it says. No way I would have come up with that, if it was like a Final Jeopardy question, Chris said. Though it makes sense, I guess, the Braves are in Atlanta by then. Okay, well, you got me roped in on the book, Austin said. What do you do, if I might ask? Something in sports? Jeannie spoke up. Babe, we've been all through this before you came. I'll fill you in. Let's don't go over it twice. Austin gave her a look now. Jay, he said, how about letting my man answer? Does he mind going over it twice? He's such an asshole, Jeannie was saying directly to Chris now. You see what I have to put up with, Austin said, also directing it at Chris. So you want to play games, is that it? Jeannie said to Austin. Where were you at 7 when you said you were picking me up? Never said that, babe. I said I'd make an effort. Austin was starting to talk through clenched teeth. That's not what Sue told me, she said, not even close. Sue, Austin said, getting more exasperated, has no idea what I'm up against. She should try it sometime. So should you. And he gave Chris another look, like you believe this shit? Chris said he'd be right back, and he picked up his drink and pointed to the game that Justin Turner just cleared the bases with a triple, and the Dodgers retook the lead. He headed over to Ned's corner table and took a look back, and Austin and Jeannie's eyes were big all around, and they were both using their hands as they spoke, and Chris, trying to divert them to the TV game, didn't work at all. Chris said to Ned, she didn't fall for your setup, the fake Craigslist deal when you introduced us. Or she forgot about it. Either way, thanks for sticking me in the middle of something. Ned laughed. She's available, if that's where you're going. Don't let Austin throw you off. He's a big pussycat at heart. I got mixed signals, Chris said. Let's leave it at that. Listen, reason I came down, I'm taking off tomorrow. Ned seemed genuinely surprised. Come again? What we talked about, Chris said. After needing that hour to dance around to it, only to bury it again. But yeah. No, Ned said. No good. Chris said, You figure it out, you can reach me the next week or so. After that, I'm not sure. I may have to ditch my phone. Why would that be? Ned said, and Chris realized he was confused himself. This out-of-state stuff, between being on the run not wanting to be found, and the flip side, him finding someone, hopefully, who didn't know he was being found. There wasn't anything left to say tonight, either one of them, and Chris polished off his drink and waved a thanks to Cindy, and he noticed Austin and Jeannie still going at it, and he gave them a wide berth as he headed out the door.